Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. This is Trinity Utica. I'm Pastor Justin Krupski, and it's an honor that you've chosen to worship with us online. This is our modern blended service. We're in Trinity's gym. I got Riley Lucas, one of our worship leaders, right here next to me, keeping social distancing. And we're just excited, and we pray that this worship service is going to bless you. We want to let you know a couple things happening here at Trinity. The first one is this, is we're working with just communicating with you as an online worshiper, and we set something up, and we've said this before, this is specifically for giving, but today it's more than just giving, it's about connecting with us online, just communicating with us, and also giving us prayer requests. And so you can, with your cell phone, I want to encourage you right now, if you're not using your cell phone, or even if you are using your cell phone to watch online worship, text Trinity, T-R-I-N-I-T-Y, Trinity, the word Trinity, to 797979, and then you'll get a reply via text, and then it'll link you right to communicating with us so we can just engage more with you online. And certainly when it comes to our offering time, that's there too, but that's just one aspect. You can get a service order for this service. You can get a prayer card, a communication card. There's four or five different things that can help you just engage with us more during our worship time and help us engage with you more outside of our online worship time. I do want to let you know this too. At Trinity, we talk a lot about our ministries, but one specific ministry that's been going on, and it's going to end actually in a couple weeks, is our day school ministry. And I just want to give a high five to our day school families and our teachers and say, you guys are amazing. You guys are rocking it. We're continuing to sharing Christ's story of love through our day school, even in this time. And we're making plans for next year. So our principal and our leadership, they got a great network. So we are making sure that we're going to continue our day school next year in the fall. We're not sure what that's going to look like. We're going to be respectful of the mandates out there, but we're working, we're making plans. And so I'm excited with four kids in our day school. What a blessing. I don't know if you're part of our day school or not, but certainly our prayers are not just with our day school, but all the day schools as teachers continue and families are just doing things out of the norm, but education is still taking place for our next generation. In our worship time today, we're going to have Riley singing songs. I'm going to be preaching a message. We're finishing up our anchored sermon series. We're excited, again, that you're here with us. You can certainly share this after the service. You can rewind it after the service. And so thanks again for worshiping with us. And there's a verse, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." And that is why we are here. That's why we're gathering in our homes. That's why we're here in the gym recording this service for you, so that we can come to Jesus and find rest, find peace in him. And Riley's going to start us off with a great song, "O Come to the Altar." And I will say this, today here at Trinity, and actually last week, we did invite people to come in for mini communion services. And so that's happening not just today and last week, but next week. This is a healthy environment. If you're comfortable, we encourage you, sign up for that. Call up the church office, schedule you and your household to come up for these mini communion services. But today we're actually going to be talking about communion. And so we're beginning with this great song of our faith called, "O Come to the Altar, Come to Jesus." And so if you just bow your heads in your homes and just pray with me as we begin our time. And so thank you, Jesus, for coming to us, for showing us who you are and who we are. We are yours. We are yours, and we are loved by you, and you are inviting us right now in this moment to come to you and to find rest, to find strength, to find hope. And so may we find you in this worship time. Meet us where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. And have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, 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 come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, He was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, He was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. And oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, He was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, He was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank You, as You wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure You found.
It happened. The unthinkable. The shift that showed our frailty. Nonetheless, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We are separated. We are isolated. And in this world, we have trouble. Nonetheless, we take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. We are conflicted and frustrated, weary too. But nonetheless, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. We are down but not out, sidelined but still in the game. We fight for our families, we hold on to love, we strive for kindness, but the hard times get harder. Nonetheless, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We walk through adversity. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We know to whom we belong, and we know where our hope lies. For He is the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the one who is and the one who is to come. It looks bleak. They say it's grim. There's a lot to fear, but nonetheless, we are strong. We are courageous. We are the church.
All right, well, we are the church. We're the church, right? We're the people of God, not a building of God, the people of God. That's you and that's me. And Jesus has said many things about us. And one thing that I believe holds true and is always going to hold true, because Jesus is the one who said it, is that the gates of hell will not overcome us. Pestilence, flood, economic turmoil, nothing will overcome us. We will be conquerors no matter what. We are the church. As I think about that statement, I think about where we've been the last 5 weeks together in our online worship with our sermon series called Anchored. We started in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Let's go there again. We have this hope, right? Hope. I love that truth of hope. We always have hope, and that is because of Jesus. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of anchor. Right? I think of fishing. I think as a young boy growing up fishing around Harson's Island with my dad and grandpa and uncle and brother and other friends and family. There are two different spots where we would anchor often. And one spot was by Bassett Island and Wappo Island and Harson's Island. The Bassett Channel and the South Channel would split off. And the important thing as we anchored was to anchor at a point where those two currents would push us into the South Channel, but we had to be right on the edge of the Bassett Channel current. If you anchored and the boat ended up going to the Bassett Channel, guess what? We really didn't catch fish. If you did catch fish, it was few and far between. But if you anchored into the current of the South Channel, we had an abundant time fishing, for lack of a better way to say it. Right? Fishing was fun. We were catching fish after fish after fish. Another spot was in the South Channel where the old shipping channel used to be and the new shipping channel is around Seaway Island. And when you'd anchor, you had to be right on the peninsula, right where those two channels are. And you'd anchor right there. And if your boat, again, got into the old shipping channel, you really didn't catch fish. But if you got your boat centered and anchored into the shipping channel, the South Channel, you were good to go. Fishing after fish after fish after fish. And when I think about being anchored, I think about abundant fishing. I think about the abundant life. And that's where I want to go today. Because Jesus said this about the life that He came to give to us. He said, the thief, right? That's devil, that's Satan, the thief. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly, I love that. That doesn't mean life is going to be perfect. That doesn't mean there's not going to be trials and troubles, but there is going to be abundance of peace, of hope, of love, of patience, right? Abundance. And as I think about that, I think about where we're going today, and I mentioned it as we began our sermon, our worship time, in fact. We're going to be talking about communion, right? This meal that Jesus gave to the church for us to be anchored in this hope, and that is Him. And I do believe many of us are in the right current right now, right? Through the last 10 weeks during this pandemic, we've chosen to really just dig deep into our relationship with Jesus. And we do have an abundance of peace and hope, right? But a lot of us are still struggling. And there's a truth in our faith. And I love it that we started giving communion last week and this week. And we got plans for all the weeks to come. The elders are meeting this Tuesday to figure out how we can keep giving that. But there's a truth in this meal that when we have this meal, there's an abundant life because this meal anchors us even more into Jesus. And so I want to share three truths. Three truths about communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. Three truths that give us life. And I don't know where you are with communion, but I pray that you'll listen and you receive this message and maybe learn something about it if you've never had communion before. And I do know many of us miss communion. Many of us miss it right now. About three truths, there are the three F's. And so if you're going to take notes from your home today, you can get a piece of paper out. I pray this is memorable for you, that you can hang on to this message and that this message gives you life and gives you more faith. But three F's that Jesus gives to us through communion. The first F is this, is he gives us family. Family. I don't know if that's ever been a thought process of you, if you're familiar with communion or not, but there is family when it comes to the Lord's Supper. I love Exodus, the book of Exodus, because Jesus actually instituted what we call the Lord's Supper communion and celebrating the Passover meal. And so in Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, as the first Passover happened, as the children of God are rescued from slavery and bondage from the grip of Egypt, it says, Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your families, for your families. Right? So the Passover meal from the very beginning was a family meal. And Jesus was with his disciples. That was a family moment. That was a family moment. And I don't know how many of you have been able to have family meals throughout your life. I will tell you this, I have four kids. I have an amazing wife celebrating our 18th wedding anniversary on Tuesday. And the last 10 weeks, so 70 evenings in a row, we've been able to have dinner together as a family. Think about that. 70 evenings in a row. That has never happened in the last 18 years or in my entire 42 years of life, to have 70 family meals in a row. Right? It's been amazing. And what does that do when we get to eat together as a family? All right, certainly my family's not perfect. The cooking's not always perfect, especially when I cook it. All right, there's little squabbles that happen. There's kids not liking the meal. Right, there's different things that happen. Kids are crying. I don't know. It's craziness. But yet we're together as a family. Right, and so when Jesus instituted communion, he knew a truth of how he created us, his children, that we needed one another. And so he provided a family, a meal for us. Not just blood family, but I do love the truth that blood is thicker than water. I think many of you know what that means. Right? I'll do anything for my blood family. My brothers, my sisters, my in-laws, my cousins, my uncles, aunts, right? They're blood. They're blood. And blood is thicker than water. But the reality of it is when we come around this table, around this meal called communion, right? We're one in the blood of Jesus. We share that. We share the blood of Jesus and we are unified as the sons and daughters. And there's community, there's fellowship like nothing else that the church has within communion, within this meal that we have together. All right, the scriptures say a lot about this desire to be in community and fellowship. And many of us are longing not just for communion, but just fellowship. Fellowship during this time. And it's coming. It is coming and I can't wait. I know you can't wait. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. Right, but I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Three friends in the Old Testament times being persecuted for their faith, but they are in it together. They are in it together. I think of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 before he goes to the cross. Father, may they be one, right? God, create a community. I know they need this. I think about the early church in the book of Acts, right? They were together every day. Every day breaking bread together. There was fellowship and actually breaking bread, right? This meal. The early church was all about fellowship. In the book of Hebrews, it actually says, don't give up that habit, that holy habit of gathering together weekly, right, around this meal. Right? Families get together around a meal, and when a family gets together around a meal, when there is family, there is life. There is life, and I can't wait to have communion with you all again, or for you to be able to go to a church together in a fellowship of believers and have this family meal. Because when there's family, there is life. The second F of this is this, and this is probably the one that's most familiar to us, this gift that is given to us in communion as we are anchored in our relationship with Jesus. Not just we have a family, but we have forgiveness. We have forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, talking about communion, talking about this meal that Jesus instituted on the night that he was betrayed, you proclaim, I love that word, proclaim. Proclaim, right? We're all preachers when we take communion. The Lord's death until he comes. That might sound, really? The Lord's death? That's kind of sad that it's gruesome, but the Lord's death is victory. victory. And when he went to that cross, there was forgiveness. That's what we're proclaiming, the forgiveness of sins, the main thing. We are receiving that. And I don't know if you understand this truth, but here's the truth. All right? Families will never be together if there's not forgiveness. If there's not forgiveness, there's no family, there is no life. And the beauty of the Lord's Supper is it levels the playing field. It levels the playing field. We've been talking a lot about this at Trinity and leadership, and I pray that you're hearing this if you're part of our ministries, or even if you're not, and we wrote something about this. It's on our Moving Together Forward on our website. You can click on that page. It's a devotion that I wrote about grace. Grace, right? Grace comes through forgiveness, and when there's grace, there's life, because when there's forgiveness, there's life, and how we need to be able to give grace to each other even more. We're all going to be on different ends of the spectrum when we come back in community and fellowship to have this meal. Right? That is a truth. Some of us are over here where maybe we are very dismissive and we feel like there's conspiracy theories and all this stuff with this pandemic. It's not really a serious thing. And some of us really feel weight of all this and we're living in fear and we're super, super cautious. We need to meet together as a family in grace, because grace, love, covers over a multitude of things and certainly sins. But we need to give grace to each other. And Jesus said it better than I'm saying, right? Be merciful. Be merciful. And those who give mercy, they'll receive mercy. And that's what this meal is all about. And when there is family, when there is forgiveness, right? There's life, life to the fullest, an abundant life. The third F is this, as we consider the Lord's Supper, as we consider a communion, this thing that anchors us into a relationship with Jesus. Third F is foretaste. Foretaste. What does that mean? Well, let's read the actual institution of this meal that we've been talking about. Matthew chapter 26 says, "Now as they were eating," so Jesus is with his disciples. They're eating the Passover meal, the Freedom Feast meal. "Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.'" Right? It's not just a remembrance meal. No, this is actually my body. Somehow, spiritually, miraculously, this is my body. And he took a cup, the third cup, out of all these cups of the Passover meal. "And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, of this promise that is being manifested right now, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" So we've already talked about this. So let's get to this next verse. And I don't know how many pastors or you heard people say this in the words of institution, quoting everything that Jesus quoted. "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day." That day. I love that. "That day, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." That day. Right? I think a lot of us are waiting to be able to come and be participating in this meal as we talk about the Lord's Supper. A lot of us just want to come in and get out in public and just have a huge party. That day. The other day I was thinking about a Disney movie called Frozen. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but there's a part where little sister Anna is so excited because the castle is about to open back up. And the song is called "For the First Time in Forever." For the first time in forever. Right? Little Anna's just dancing around the castle because the castle's about to be opened up. And I can't help but picture myself or the other pastors or the leaders here dancing around the gym, dancing around the hallways, dancing around the sanctuary, the narthex, the lobby, just dancing around for the first time in forever. Right? We're going to get back together, right, that day. And we're excited about that day, but Jesus is talking about that day. Right? He's talking about heaven. And there is a foretaste in this meal for heaven. In 2 Corinthians, it says this in chapter 4. "For this light momentary affliction," right, "is preparing for us an eternal, again, foretaste, right? We're going to get to eat this meal again with Jesus. "Eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Eternal. Right? "As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." I just repeated myself there, but stick with me. All right? Foretaste. A foretaste, right? To fix our eyes and there are things before us. The things that are coming specifically that day. And there is hope in communion because Jesus gave us a little bit. I think about Pringles right now. I'm fasting this week. I'm doing something called SoulCon with a group of guys here. And so I haven't been eating snacks or treats or any kind of sugar thing for these days. And right now I'm actually hungry just thinking about that. I haven't been eating past 7 o'clock. But I think of Pringles. What's that line with Pringles? These salty chips. Once you pop, you can't stop. Right? A little bit. We get a little bit of heaven in communion. There's hope. There's life. When you know this is a foretaste of the great wedding banquet, I think of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right? There is victory when it comes to communion. There is hope. There is a foretaste of what is to come that day. No more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. Right? So I don't know if you've stuck with me through this message. And anchored and communion on the abundant life. But these three F's come through communion. These three F's give us the abundant life family. Family. And we as his church, we are family. We have each other's backs. And there is forgiveness. When there is forgiveness, there is life. Not just family equals life, but then there is foretaste. And that equals life. Life. I mentioned that we started bringing people back. People are signing up to come in a safe, healthy environment with social distancing, a lot of new protocols into our sanctuary, into our building to start receiving communion. That happened last week. That's happening today, this Sunday, and also next Sunday. The elders are meeting this Tuesday to figure out the month of June. I want to encourage you. All right, come, sign up, be part of this family meal, this meal of forgiveness, this meal that is a foretaste. All right, there's life in Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me, that's Jesus, shall never rest." And so let's talk about this. All right. I don't know if this is your church home, Trinity. I know many of you it's not. Right? Online worship, many of you have chosen to worship with us online. And I don't know where your faith is, where your faith has been. But I want to ask you this question today is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? How are you and Jesus doing? I don't know what your life has been like in the past. I don't know what your journey has been over this pandemic for the last 10 weeks. But today I want to ask you this question because there is a question in communion. Right? It's a time in communion where you confirm your faith as we talk about communion. Maybe today is a day where you're going to confirm your faith. When you say, "Yes, Jesus, you have reached down to me, and I know you've chosen me, and today I say yes to you, Jesus. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need a fresh start. I need family. And I need a little bit of hope. I need this foretaste." That is in Jesus. Now, I just want to let you know, if you're new to the church, if you're new to a relationship with Jesus over the last 10 weeks or even today, we're here for you. And more than us, Jesus is here for you. So I just encourage you to continue to seek out Jesus. Continue to seek out his truth. Right? Because when you find truth, there is life and there is freedom. There is the abundant life. Right? So I pray that you stay anchored. Don't move that rope. Don't let out more line. Don't pull in more line. Don't pull that anchor up. Keep it in Jesus because you are anchored in the right direction. You are in the channel of the true life. And so I'm going to invite Riley back out here right now. And he's going to sing a song called "Stand in Your Love." Right? Not your love, not my love, his love. And I want to encourage you today, if you want to confirm your faith, if you want to affirm your faith, right? When we take communion, we're confirming our faith every time. And I know we can't take communion right now, but I think we can stand up in our homes. And this might be the first time you're standing up. And I pray that you have the courage to stand up, even though there's not people around you. Maybe there is people around you. But if you stand up, you're saying, "Jesus, I believe in you. I am anchored in you. Thank you for seeking me out. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving me the good news that I am loved by you." So Riley's going to sing this great song of our faith, "Stand in Your Love." And I pray that you're going to stand, that you're going to stand in his love, and that you're going to sing this song out with Riley right now from the bottom of your heart, just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. I believe in you. I'm standing in your love. You are my anchor, my hope." Riley.
And
darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Standing, there's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Nowhere, 'cause I'm standing in your love. Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing in your love. I'm standing in your love. Standing in your love.
So if you're standing, you can stay standing if you want. If you want to sit down, sit down. We're going to go to time of prayer. And so if you're in a home with others, hold hands, cuddle up, get next to each other. If you're all by yourself, I just pray that you know you're not alone, that God is with you and that we are with you, and that you'll truly feel the touch of God Almighty as we go to our Lord in prayer. And so, God, we are anchored. We are anchored in you, and may we stay anchored in you, in Jesus, our Savior, in your love that takes away all fear, that gives us a fresh start, that brings life from death. And you know where we are, and we just pray that you continue to meet us where we are. Continue to give us hope. Continue to give us peace. Continue to speak to us. Give us your comfort food, which is your word. Give us more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to keep confirming our faith in you, to keep the anchor strong and secure. Lord, there are people hurting. There are people all alone. There are people who feel like there's no family. They have no family. There are people who feel, Lord, they're not forgiven. There are people who feel that there's no hope for the future, that there is no bit of heaven. There is no foretaste, Lord, but there is. There is. Or may we as a church, may we be their family. May we reach out to them. May they know that they're not alone. And as they come back to the fellowship of believers around communion, Lord, may they know they have a family. Lord, forgiveness. But right now, in this moment, we do receive your forgiveness as we definitely confess our sins to you. Lord, all those times where we have wronged you, wronged our neighbor. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that you always forgive us. You've forgiven us. As far as the east is from the west, you've removed our sins. You're not keeping a record of our wrongs. Lord, help us to move forward in that freedom that forgiveness gives. And we thank you that heaven is for real, that we have this foretaste. May we receive little bits of heaven from here on out until we get to the full banquet, the real banquet, the great party in heaven, the great wedding reception that you spoke about, Jesus. Lord, in this moment, we pray that prayer, that family prayer that Jesus taught, those petitions that we call the Lord's Prayer. We pray this together, the words on the screen if you don't know it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I want to let you know that we are here to pray for you. As I mentioned in the beginning of the service, if you missed the beginning of the service, I want you to pull out your cell phone if you haven't already. Pull out your cell phone. If you're using your cell phone for this, I think you can figure out, you can send a text message. Send a text message to 797979 and text the word Trinity to 797979. That's going to connect you with our prayer card to where you can put a prayer request down. It's going to connect you with our communication card so you can communicate with us and let us know what's going on in your world. And just let us know that you are here worshiping with us, because we'd love to just follow up with you and give you more resources to help you continue in your relationship with Jesus. And it also has ways to give along with a couple other things. But right now, I do want to talk about partnering with you. And certainly, many of you serve through the ministries of Trinity. Many of you haven't stopped. Many of you are looking forward to it. Many of you have done it in the past. Right? So certainly, we use our talents, right, in our time, but also our treasure. Right? Scriptures talk a lot about stewardship of our resources, of our finances. And as part of our stewardship, God talks about giving an offering in partnership with him, in partnership with the local church, as a statement of your faith. And so we have been blessed over the last 10 weeks, beyond all measure. People have continued to give and continue to give abundantly out of faith, out of trust in God that he will provide. So I don't know where you are in your relationship with God when it comes to your first fruits and being a steward of your resources, but there's an opportunity with us to partner. And so you can give through our online text message that you probably just received, or you can go to our website if you'd like to give, or when you come in person, maybe next week or the weeks to come, you can give. And as I mentioned, the weeks to come, I want to mention this. Hopefully, we're opening up our building from our on-site worship, but we're going to proceed cautiously as we go forward. And we're going to continue with our online ministry, and so please, we are continuing with our online ministry from this point forward. We are blessed with resources, and God has stepped up big time in the last 10 weeks through amazing volunteers, amazing gifted people to make this happen for us. But that's our offering time, so I just want to let you know that during this text. Trinity, 797979. And right now, we're actually going to close with a great song of our faith. And it's a song that I think is going to get you up. If you want to sit down, that's fine. But there's a little foot tapping last week. I think we ended with a song that was a little upbeat. But it's called Bound for Glory. And so when we talk about the foretaste, certainly that happens in communion. But there's a foretaste all around us, little bits of heaven. When you think about heaven, you can't help but get excited. And so Riley is going to close our worship time with this great song of our faith. Join him. And afterwards, I'm going to give a blessing. Then we're going to go to Allison Carr for a children's message. So let's get up. Let's sing this song. Let's celebrate. Let's have this little foretaste together of this great party to come with no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. And so Riley.
This world is not my home. I'm here but for a moment. It's all I've ever known. But this world is not my home. This fight is not my own. These burdens are my future. The empty tomb has shown I am bound for glory. I am free because I'm bound.
I am bound for heaven's gates, where my feet will stand on holy ground. I am bound for glory. The saving work is done. Death is not my ending. My God is overcome. Oh, I am bound for glory. I am free because I'm bound. I am bound for heaven's gates, where my feet will stand on holy ground. I am bound for glory. Bound for glory. All my pain, hurt and shame, gone when Jesus calls my name. Endless joy, endless praise, gone when Jesus calls my name. And all my pain, hurt and shame, gone when Jesus calls my name. Endless joy, endless praise, gone when Jesus calls my name. I am free because I'm bound. I am bound for heaven's gates, where my feet will stand on holy ground. I am bound for glory. I am free because I'm bound. I am bound for heaven's gates, where my feet will stand on holy ground. I am bound for glory. Where my feet will stand on holy ground. I am bound for glory. I'm bound for glory.
Well, I was thinking about doing a two-step for Pastor Lou. I was almost doing the Roger Rabbit over there. But there is a foretaste, and I pray that you have a little bit of hope. Not just a little bit of hope, but a lot of hope. God is not done with us. He's not ready to take us to glory. And so since he's not ready, let's receive a blessing for today and every day until that day. May God our Father, may he continue to remind you that you are his children, that you have a family, you have brothers and sisters all around you, united by the blood of Jesus. May that Jesus himself, your Savior, may he continue to overwhelm you with the truth that you are forgiven, that you are free, no more debt. There is so much freedom that you have. Receive that. May the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you, may he continue to give you a little bit of heaven every day, a little foretaste of what is to come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks for joining us for online worship today. We're going to go to Allison Carr's house now for our children's message.
Good morning, boys and girls, and thanks for joining me again this week. I'm willing to bet that most of you probably have some form of bread laying around your house. Chances are that some of you even had some bread this morning to go along with your breakfast. Well, bread is made of some pretty simple ingredients. You need flour, water, salt, and then sometimes you need a leavener like yeast, and other times you don't have to. But those simple ingredients make up a ton of delicious foods. Let's think about it. We use bread for pizza crust, for sandwiches, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, or even tortillas are made of those ingredients. Well, bread was pretty essential during Bible times. When you think about it, there are several stories recorded that actually have bread involved in them somehow. For example, when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, God made them make bread without a leavener so that they could leave quickly. Or you had Jesus who did a miracle with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You also had Jesus teach us how to pray, praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover, right before Easter, they had bread. Jesus took it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, bread is pretty essential for most of us now, too, and we eat a lot of it in a lot of different forms. It wasn't that long ago where it was actually kind of hard to find bread or find the ingredients to make bread. See, a lot of people were worried that they weren't going to be able to have bread or make bread, so they were buying all the ingredients, but that made it difficult for us to find it. But because we eat bread so often and with so many different things and in so many different forms, people were buying it because they wanted to make sure that they weren't without it. Well, when our stomachs grumble from hunger, food such as bread is the only thing that can fill and satisfy us. But bread can only satisfy us for a little while. Eventually, you're gonna be hungry again. But sometimes we also experience a different type of hunger. A hunger or yearning for things like love, joy, peace, and purpose. There's no food, no bread that can ever truly satisfy us. But knowing Jesus gives us real life fullness forever. In the Bible, it says that Jesus is the bread of life. Even though we need food or bread to fill our stomachs, even more, we need Jesus for our souls. Why don't we say a prayer to thank God not only for the food that we have every day, but let's also thank Him for sending Jesus, the bread of life, who satisfies us and gives us an abundant life every day. Let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for providing our daily bread. Thank you for also sending Jesus, the bread of life. Thank you that He is the one who can satisfy our hunger for a life of joy, love, and peace. Help us to trust Him, to follow Him, and to know Him. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, God really does provide our daily bread. But He also provided the bread of life for us so that we can be with Him forever. So don't forget to thank God for the needs that you have that have been met. But also, let's continue to thank God for Jesus. And let's know Him more because He is the bread of life and everything that we need. All right, boys and girls, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And hopefully, I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye!